Welcome to the Paranormal Gateway Spirit Talk. I'm the host, Scott Wise, and joining me tonight is my special guest, Sharice O'Williams. Sharice is a paranormal investigator, researcher, and researcher with over 20 years of experience, comparing spirituality and witchcraft with a level-headed approach to the paranormal. Sharice has a unique perspective on the field, which is not talking spirit or pulling cards. Jordan Beaver's family spent time in nature and taking gaps. She is also an author of The Witch's Guide to Ghost Hunter and coming soon, Witch's Guide on the Objects. One of our lucky viewers were a chance to win a digital copy of Witch's Guide to Ghost Hunting. Compliments to Paranormal Gateway Spirit Talk and join at the end of the show. Good luck. Now, without further ado, let's welcome Sharice to the show. Sharice, hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
That was a bit of a mouthful, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did good.
I can't wait to... Yeah, I loved the book. When it first came out, I got a digital copy. I didn't get an actual copy of it yet, but I love the book.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I did refresh over the weekend, too, for having you on, but...
Yeah.
But I like how you do a paranormal investigator and that into witch also, so people who are new to investigating can get a taste of both from where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I tried to make that book so it was... Whether you are a little more experienced in the paranormal, but you're maybe newer to more like spiritual or witchcraft techniques, you would get something out of it, and then vice versa as well. Because there's a lot of people who do spiritual stuff and witchcraft stuff, but they've never done an actual investigation. So there's a little bit of everything in there for no matter what your skill level is, I think.
For over the years, I never thought about getting witchcraft involved. But it's something that, I mean, everybody can try it if, you know, you have the correct, I guess, tools and, you know, your documentary book that a lot of people can do it, but they have to be grounded or they have to be in tune with their surroundings and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I say, too, because some people are a little hesitant. They're like, well, I'm not a witch or I don't really want to do witchcraft. And... I mean, while there is a lot of witchcraft in there, there's also a lot of just really good spiritual in general. You know, a lot of the protection techniques and stuff don't necessarily need to be considered witchcraft. They're just more kind of spiritual, energetic stuff. So I always tell people, if you're hesitant on the witchcraft aspect, just pretend that word is not in there and you'll still get something out of the book, I think.
Right. So how do you get originally to ghost hunting and then say, well, let's take it another way and involve witchcraft. How young were you when you first decided to do witchcraft or occult or whatever you decided to do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always been interested in different spiritualities and things like that. I was always drawn to kind of the witchcraft that you saw in movies when I was younger. But I was raised with Christian family and going to the church and everything. And so I always was told witches are evil and anything like that is evil. But then when I was around 18 years old, I found a book that explained what witchcraft is and what it isn't. And it kind of dispelled some of those myths that I'd grown up hearing. And it really kind of made sense to me as far as what witchcraft is. You know, it's a lot more of just tuning into nature and tuning into the energies within yourself and the energies in your environment. And I really kind of resonated with that. And then as far as ghosts as well, I've always been interested in anything that goes bump in the night or, you know, aliens and Bigfoot and cryptids and things. And so it just kind of made sense to eventually merge the two. I mean, with paranormal investigating, you're dealing with spirits and energies. Witchcraft, you're dealing with spirits and energies. So why not kind of merge the two? And I think it makes a lot of sense.
Can you explain the role of the witch throughout history?
Yeah, and, you know, throughout history, witches have, I mean, you hear stories, and in the book I talk about, even in the Bible, you know, witches have been used to communicate with the spirits, and you know, a lot of talk of like necromancy and everything. So if throughout history witches were relied on to communicate with spirits and to communicate with the other side, then why wouldn't we incorporate that in present day investigating? I mean, with paranormal investigating, we're trying to connect with the other side. We're trying to speak with these spirits. And so why not bring the witches in, as well as, you know, witches were used, you know, relied on or asked for help with repelling negative spirits or negative energies. So yeah, witches and the paranormal and spirits have always kind of gone hand in hand.
All right. So how do you combine spiritual methods like spells and tarot with scientific hunting equipment and techniques? How do you combine those two?
I love doing that. Combining, you know, a K2 meter with a pendulum. I mean, even if you don't want to use any of the spiritual tools, I think it makes the evidence that you get much more compelling if you have more than one piece of equipment that is responding to something. So, you know, if you have a spirit box running and a K2 and you're getting responses on the spirit box the same time that the K2 is going off, that is even more compelling than if you were just getting the responses or just getting the K2. Yeah. And so I like to kind of add in, you know, I'll be pulling tarot cards while I have the spirit box going. And usually I also have like some sort of REM pod or K2 meter or something as well. And it's actually funny sometimes, a lot of the time spirits are more interested when I do bring out my tarot cards or pendulum and things. They seem a little more interested, and it might be because it's, you know, not so well utilized as like a spirit box. You know, they've seen a spirit box a million times. They don't always see tarot cards. But sometimes some of the spirits don't like it. Like, I've been called a witch on the spirit box. I'm pulling the tarot.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been called, yeah, a witch. And then
more than once?
It actually has happened more than once. But thankfully, more often than not, it seems like it kind of draws them in. Like, they're a little more interested and like, okay, let me try to communicate with you this way. Or at the very least, what are you doing?
Okay. It also depends where you're at. How far back to the spirit that you're talking to are, or air the for length of back in the early 1800s, they might have a different idea of what a witch is. Or back in the days then, the witch hunt of Massachusetts, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But, depends on what they thought when they were living. Yeah, for sure.
Right. But nowadays it's more accepted and I had other witch on my story too, but yeah, I mean, I was good this way. I all my devices. Like I said, I'll lay everyone down, and I'll do my EP session, and then like I can see it. This is another tool I can use on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said to you before, I think you live so close to me, we should go out sometime.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd love after you take your, you know, out and show me.
Yeah.
But
I've been lacking with the ghost hunting this year. I feel like I haven't really gone out this year much.
Every year I try to get out to, when you're in Compass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm PAL. I'm like 20 minutes or down the road from you. But I get once a year I go out to Mansfield Fire Museum.
Mm.
I get a ton of stuff out of there.
Yeah,
I've been there about 4 times now, because it's down to about an hour from me. So
yeah,
it might be less for you. But I don't know. It'd be more for you, Mansfield. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, I'll have to go there sometime. I've heard other people talk about it being a good place to go.
Yeah. We all play a trip to go.
Yeah,
definitely. I'm chilling. Yeah. That's my favorite place out here, Ohio.
Yeah.
But do you have a favorite tool used on this investigation, or just use tarot, you know, tarot pendulum, and is there anything else you use? Do you like have sprays or herbs day out, or?
Yeah. Things? So pretty much on any investigation I go on, I usually have my spirit box with headphones. Because I don't know, I have a hard time with the spirit box just playing out loud. It's hard for me to hear what's being said, but if I put the headphones on, I can hear it more clearly. So the spirit box with headphones, tarot cards, and then I always have a selenite crystal, a selenite wand. And those three things, I can happily investigate for hours with just those three tools.
Oh yeah. I love my tools.
You what?
I love my tools so I take along. And play batteries.
Yeah, definitely. Gotta use
I always look for special names on there. So, like for spiritual methods combined with scientific methods, how do you go about that? I mean,
well, kind of like I was saying, just utilizing, if you're doing the tarot cards, you're also running like another.
Oh, yeah. I think you covered that right here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like with, you basically give someone a one day's doing the EVP work and, you know, learning the difference between residual and all the other.
Yeah, ones. All the different types of hauntings.
You want to cover, I know them, but you want to cover them real quick?
Yeah, sure. Because I think a lot of people, too, if they're more new to the paranormal, you know, they kind of just think that, like, a haunting is a haunting. But there's a lot of different types of energies and entities that can contribute to a haunting or create similar activity. I think the most common that people think of is just your run-of-the-mill traditional ghost, which is somebody who died and their soul or their spirit is stuck here. And that is when you get kind of the intelligent responses. You ask a question, you get a response. I feel like those are actually a little more rare. I think more often than not, hauntings, when you're getting responses, are what I call a fragment haunting, which is when...
Oh, they're right up for.
Yeah, fragment haunting.
Oh.
Do you have the first edition or the second edition book?
No, second one. I ain't seen the second one.
I thought it's in there. I think it's in the second edition. I don't know why I'm going to put it in there.
I saw Stone Theory and I saw some of the, you know, which I think is fascinating too, Stone Tape Theory. People could cover that later. But go ahead, back to where you're.
Yeah. So fragment haunting, I think, is when we go through traumatic experiences or even just embarrassing moments, like kind of a piece of our energy fractures off from, you know, think of a big bubble around us as our energy, and we go through something traumatic, and a piece of that energy can kind of break off. And it's kind of a way for our spirit, our energy body, to keep itself safe. It's almost also like when you think of psychology and people kind of have like fractured memories, like when something traumatic happens, they can't recall the details. And it's almost like that part of their brain that experienced the trauma, like either they just detached from themselves during the trauma or it's buried somewhere deep in the subconscious, but either way, it's like fractured from your main consciousness. And because it is an energy that fractured off, it's a fragment of your energy, we're able to investigate that. It responds just like it would if you were talking to the complete being, because it has all of the memories and everything up until the point of the trauma, up until the point of the fragment. And so a lot of the time you can tell that is a fragment haunting because they may not be aware of what the actual year is, because they're kind of still stuck in that, you know, say the trauma happened in 1980, that energy fragment is still stuck in 1980. It hasn't really learned anything past 1980. So it may be kind of confused when you say that, you know, it's 2023, they may be like, what? And yeah, so it's kind of a piece of the person, but it's also not their entire being. And the good thing with this is once the person heals or once that energy feels safe to return to its source energy, whether that's in a different lifetime, this all gets kind of crazy, like so many different layers. But thankfully, you know, that fragment can be reunited with its main energy source. And I think that can also explain why sometimes you go, there's a haunting at a location, and it's always been really active. And then suddenly one time it's just nobody ever sees that ghost again or has any interaction with that spirit ever again. That could be because it was a fragment haunting and that fragment that was haunting that space reunited with its source energy. So that, I think, makes up majority of the hauntings that we're dealing with.
Actually, you talk about the bubble. That actually isn't in that book. I remember. Because the way you described it, But with a fragment, how does that differ from residual?
So residual is more of like an imprint in the energy and the fabric of the environment. So if you think of, a location as being like a sheet of energy over that location, a residual haunting is like an imprint was made in that sheet of energy. And occasionally you can interact with that, or occasionally it kind of stirs up again. A residual haunting has no consciousness to it. So you can't really interact with it. You can't ask it questions. If you do, it's not going to respond. It would be like if you're trying to have a conversation with the actor that you're seeing on the movie that you're watching. That actor is not going to respond because they're not actually there. You're just seeing the image, the imprint of that actor doing that movie. That's kind of like a residual haunting. You're seeing just the imprint. They don't know that you exist. They can't respond. They're not conscious.
There are very many different ones. I remember what I call that anniversary ghost. You ever
An
hear an
anniversary ghost?
anniversary ghost?
Yeah, that they show up. Yeah, Anne Boleyn, her ghost is said to on the anniversary of her beheading. It's said that her ghost is seen. So, yeah, on the anniversary.
I know stone tape, but do you want to explain stone tape theory?
Yeah, so that's
I think it's fascinating.
it is. So that's the theory that, I don't know how I'm trying to explain this. Some people think that like different, like literal stone holds energy and is also an energy conductor, especially like limestone is the big one. And so it's kind of theorized that, again, when some sort of event happens, that the energy literally gets kind of imprinted into the stone. And it's every now and then, maybe depending on the weather, nobody's quite sure how, we sometimes can experience the residual energies and sometimes we cannot. Nobody really knows. I kind of think it makes sense if it is some energy that's literally imprinted into the stone. Stone is a natural element. So I kind of think that maybe something natural triggers the energy to kind of be released. So whether that's maybe some like vibration within the earth that triggers it, or different humidity or things like that in the environment can kind of like release that energy. And then if we're there, maybe we can experience it in that moment.
Maybe with like water content, maybe also and also the quartz, I think, is a conductor too
Oh
for that.
yeah, quartz is a big one. Limestone, quartz. Yes, oh my gosh, the ley lines. There's so much that can contribute to,
I know, it's just so much that your book is chock full of that stuff. Oh God, I'll come back to it. I might have to get the physical book for me. I'm just like have to carry with me. Yeah, especially if like drawing your symbols and stuff and
Oh
your
yeah,
sig your sigils. Yeah, I think that's fascinating too. So the preparations, like getting yourself together, the kit. For your kit, what do you take on ghost things? What in your kit did you take?
Yeah, I always bring a spirit box with headphones. Whether I'm going to be doing the Estes method or just listening to the spirit box alone, I prefer using headphones. Definitely my tarot cards, and usually like a notebook and pen to write down responses or any intuitive things that I might be picking up on. And selenite wand to cleanse my aura energy. Yeah, I even have a piece of that in my car. Like pretty much anywhere I am, I have a piece of selenite with me.
Do you have it hanging from the mirror? Without being mirror?
I should get it hanging from my mirror, but no, it's in my console next to me. Which that's excellent. I mean, even like before I go into a grocery store, I usually use it on me because there's people that you're running into at the grocery store. So those three things, that's what I have on me most of the time. I do like a K2 meter every now and then, and that's really all. Oh, and my flashlight.
Sorry, I got a flashlight.
Yeah.
Wait, you mentioned the grocery store. Thanks enough for looking at a book that if you want to your surroundings, like just you close your eyes for a while and picture yourself. You said you're in the grocery store a few different times to to get a feel for yourself.
So in the book, I talk about the different types of psychic gifts of intuition, because everybody has gifts. Everybody is psychic. It's just different degrees of, how strong your gift is. But anybody can kind of hone in on that. And one of the things I talk about is putting yourself in different environments and feeling the energies. Because, when you're in the middle of the woods and you close your eyes for a moment, you do some nice slow breathing and you feel the energies around you. That feels very different than if you are in the middle of the grocery store. The energy feels completely different. Also, if you're in your living room with your family, that's going to feel different. And so it's important, I think, as a paranormal investigator, to really acclimate yourself to different energies. So that way, if you happen to encounter that on an investigation, you can be like, wait a minute, I've felt this energy before. Like for me, I spend a lot of time in nature, so I'm very familiar with what nature feels like, what that energy frequency feels like. And so there's been times I've been on investigations and I may be in an old building, but the energy that we're communicating with feels like nature. And so I can then kind of deduce that, oh, we're not actually dealing with a human right now. Like we're connecting with a nature spirit. But I wouldn't have known that had I not taken time when I'm out in the woods to really kind of feel what the nature feels like. And then, if you're in the grocery store, you can kind of get a sense of what different people feel like as well, what their energy feels like. A small child walking down the aisle, their energy may kind of feel a little different than an elderly person walking down the aisle. So when you kind of are just more aware of that, and you don't have to make a big scene of it, you can literally just be pushing your cart through the grocery store and just take a second, kind of close your eyes for just a moment and just see what you can feel. I guess you don't even need to close your eyes if you don't want to, but just kind of when you walk crossing, somebody in the aisle, like see if you can kind of put your little feelers out, your energetic feelers, and see what kind of energy is coming off of them.
I think you answered the restaurant too. I think that's a perfect place for the people talking in their glasses and that's a
Yeah,
good
see if
place
you
to.
can kind of tune in to like, all right, I want to try to tune into that person's energy over there on the other side of the restaurant. Like, can I tune into that even with all of these distractions happening? It's a good way to increase your psychic muscle.
What preparations do you take before and after investigations?
Surprisingly, I think people would think that I do a lot before or after an investigation. I don't do a ton, and I think it's because I just am actively, and I talk about this in the book as well, just like everyday things that you can do to like energy maintenance almost to keep your aura strong and your energy grounded. So like whenever I'm taking a shower, I take a moment to close my eyes and envision, the water as like a white light washing over me and rinsing off any residual energy that I don't want to be holding on to. So I'm pretty much always doing kind of like energy maintenance like that. But I do, before an investigation, I do like to kind of take some slow breaths before I go in and get myself centered. I always greet the spirits as well before I begin investigating. I always say hello and I introduce myself. And I think that's important rather than just barging into a location and like demanding to be spoken to and interacted with. You wouldn't do that to a living person. So I think manners are important. And then after an investigation, I usually just keep it simple and I say any spirits or entities are not allowed to attach to me. You're not allowed to follow me home. And I kind of just leave it at that. And that usually works pretty well for me. Again, because I am so on top of keeping my energy good on a regular basis, I think that that works. And then if there are times where it does seem like maybe I brought something home with me or something kind of has stuck with me, I then do other, practices or rituals to help release any stronger energy.
I have a medicine bag. I think all has different stuff in it.
Nice. Yeah, those are
Crystals and
great.
black salt, I think, in it, and
Yeah, that's perfect. That's really good.
But like you said, I always get better results if you're nice and take the time to introduce yourself, like you said. I get a lot better results.
Exactly. I
And
mean, if
yeah.
somebody came into your house screaming at you, like, yeah, you may react right away, but you're
Yeah.
not going to want to talk to them, or it's,
So just
yeah, exactly. Maybe like one big burst of interaction and then nothing. That's it. Or if you're at a party and somebody's being a jerk at the party, you're not going to want to go over and have a conversation with them. You're going to want to have a conversation with the person that's being nice. So I think the same is, can be said with spirits too.
Well, do you make a mistake and not do it and get home with something follow you?
I have brought home things sometimes. Most notably was a spirit from the West Virginia penitentiary. I do it. That was fun.
Was there a nice spirit or a mean spirit?
I wouldn't say he was mean, but he was definitely
With the
he liked my energy. And he liked taking my energy. And it was whenever my energy was starting to feel kind of depleted, I think he would do things to make me more agitated because that would stir up my energy again for him to kind of take it. So while he didn't do anything like outwardly terrible, I wasn't getting scratched or anything like that. He was just messing with my vibe. So I had to send him packing. I don't know where he went, but he's not with me anymore. So.
Hey, you have to go home, please. Can I stay here?
That's literally what I said. I was like, I don't,
Oh,
you don't have to. I actually did it out in the woods, the ritual out in the
God.
woods.
That was
Have to
our that was our core to announce at the bars. You
sit.
have to go home, we can stay here.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. It's all fun.
Yeah.
Otherwise. So, what, like, at home, what are your go-to spells or ritual exercises you use?
What is my go-to rituals at home?
Yeah.
Or like for what? To
For
protect?
that, well, again, for, I guess, is it different out than, out wrestling? Is it different from in your house?
I guess yeah. So on an investigation, usually if there's a spirit that's getting a little too close or, you know, kind of messing with people's energy, usually just setting firm boundaries on the investigation works. There was an investigation I was on actually a couple times, where the spirit was kind of trying to latch on to the other investigator, and so I kind of had to just go over and I used the selenite wand, and I also kind of had to literally like pick off the energy off of her. So there's a lot of like simple things like that that you can do on an investigation to help remove energy. But then when you're at home, if you are trying to cleanse your home, or maybe a spirit has kind of latched onto you, there's you can make it a little more detailed with like candles and herbs and things like that.
And also, like, there's some stuff to take on investigation and helps you stay safe while you're there, too. I mean, like, all that things you take with you. So, that's good, too. So what role does your psychic gifts help in good time?
Oh my gosh. Like mine personally, or just anybody in general?
Well, I mean, you're first, I guess. I mean, how
Okay.
does it help with?
Yeah. Well, any like I said, everybody has intuition. Everybody has psychic gifts. And by tuning into that, like I mentioned with the you know, putting yourself in your in environments in your daily life and attuning yourself, kind of getting familiar with the different energies, that can help you on investigation to help determine, okay, this feels like a childlike energy. I know because I've kind of felt that, I've sensed that in grocery stores or restaurants or whatever, or this feels like a nature spirit. That's one way that it can help. Also, just if you've ever been on investigation, I think any investigator I've ever been with, they've always gotten that, like, I feel like we should go in here. Follow that intuition, because a lot of the time, if you are getting the sense that maybe you need to go into this other room, you may get a really great piece of evidence, or you may have something, you know, activity that stirs up in that room. The same with sometimes you get the feeling like I shouldn't be here. maybe that's a good idea to leave. So it's a good idea to listen to your intuition. And then also don't discredit it, because so many people, they'll kind of laugh at themselves. Like, I just got the image of like a cigar or something. And then they're like, but I it means nothing. And then they don't follow through with that. Meanwhile, if you like kind of tapped into that and maybe started asking questions about a cigar, maybe that will trigger the spirit to be like, oh, like I loved smoking cigars. That was my favorite thing in the world. And then they want to talk to you because you're talking about something that they are interested in. So don't discredit any, you know, words that might pop into your head or an image that you might see, or some people even smell like psychic smells, you know, paranormal scents. Don't discredit that either. And pay attention to that too, because you may start to notice that when you smell roses, that usually symbolizes a female. Or if you smell something sweet, maybe like candy, like that's a little kid spirit. Our intuition, our psychic gifts always communicate to us in very unique ways. So pay attention to the like weird little intuitive things that you get on investigations and kind of just follow through with it.
Did you ever have a psychic overload?
What was that?
Do you ever have an overload?
Yes, sometimes. I learned actually that when I get tears in my eyes, like just this overwhelming like emotion that comes over me and I get tears in my eyes. I've now learned that that isn't just me getting like overwhelmed, that that's me coming into contact with a very strong spirit, a very strong entity. And so now I know when I'm feeling that way, that usually it's like, okay, I probably should set some sort of boundary right now, because the spirit's really strong. Let me set a boundary and proceed that way. And also a lot of the time, I don't think I've with spirits gotten overwhelmed. It's more when there's large groups of people. So if I'm investigating with a larger group, that can get overwhelming, because I'm opening myself up energetically to connect with the spirits, while at the same time, then I'm like feeling everything from the living people as well. So it can kind of sometimes be hard to like separate all of the living people's energy and focus on just the spirit. So that can be overwhelming sometimes.
It's like trying to share yourself with others.
Share myself with others?
Yeah. It's not, but it feels like them. Like this girl knows if she's doing like, I guess the groups you go out with are more experienced than others you went out with, and know how to properly behave themselves. Now, yes. I've been on some already that we invited along, and they speak for people, and they bring their family members. And but the only time I shut it down, I said, never done. And then all the donations we did, we saw, but it's going to happen, so.
It can be a lot with the living.
Right. Oh, yeah. I prefer the dead.
Me too.
That's the calling names. I get that a lot, so.
You get called names by the spirits?
I call S already. I call C word already.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, and this word a lot. They say S word a lot. But I already had one female say, I love you, also. So I kind of,
I like when they're nice.
Yeah.
It does kind of crack me up when they're a little sassy, though, sometimes.
Too. Yeah. Okay, Mr. Sassy Pants. Yeah, it back a little bit.
Yeah.
I get that with something. But for start off, I got that, but I've been doing it over 15 years now. And I first started off, I wasn't as tuned in everything. I think I'm more of an empath with you now than before. I explained this before about this in Exton, PA, when I lived there. I moved out here 8 years ago. I was in York, PA only before that. So there's a place called the Ship's Inn. And we're in the basement doing investigation in Black's basement. I started crying. I was going on and fell sick. So we had to go to a medium to psychics long, and she went down there. She goes, "Well, something don't feel right." And we didn't, afterwards, we found out there's a fire in the basement. And you saw some of the charred rafters. I didn't get moves there. But part of the fear, he died in that home. And I think I was feeling what they felt.
Oh,
Now,
yeah.
I went outside. I sat there 5 minutes. And I went back in, but I got back in the basement.
Wow.
I would get like down there. I'd say away from the basement last season.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah, that can be
Yeah.
intense feeling the when you feel
Right.
the emotions of the people that die at the other
Right.
location. Yeah, that can be a lot.
And I've also heard like the clarity. Is that when you can hear?
Yeah, the clairaudience.
So I've had that before also, where I heard it, and then it's picked up on my digital recorder.
Oh, that's so cool. Isn't that
But
awesome? Kind of like a
yeah,
confirmation for you?
actually, it's actually it happened. I'm not sure how familiar you are with Pennsylvania, but they have a place called the Haldeman Mansion.
Okay.
Do you hear that?
I don't,
A lot
is
of you
where
haven't.
Pennsylvania is that?
It's in what to call again?
Like, is it, I don't really know anything on the east side of Pennsylvania.
What's the name of some right? I can't remember.
That's okay.
But we still find. I was there testing out my equipment. Now, I don't know if you do this. I do all the time. As a super location, I get my voice recorder out and start. I do. I'm setting up the whole way through until I pack up the internet off.
Okay, so
So
you let it
I
run the
get.
whole investigation.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And what I do is, I have a baseball cap, and on the brim, I have one of the studio mics that like say call them. What do they call them? Pin?
Yeah.
I forget what they're called. The clip on your shirt.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's got the pale microphone, I think it's
Okay.
called. Yeah. But I put it on the brim of my cap. And I ran the wire down my back. And have a recorder in my pocket. I hit record, it hit lock on it. So they can't get, last night just carrying around the gear. You think of something else when like a brush against the recorder.
Yeah.
So instead of hearing the banging, sitting down stuff, it's always in my pocket.
Huh.
So,
That's
but
yeah, that's a good, I don't know how you listen to that audio. I don't have the attention span for that to listen to like a 6 hour long audio.
what I get it, and I break it apart a little bit.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, if I hear something, I'll be on the back and play it right then and there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's
I'll
usually
do
when
that
I don't
sometime.
use the I don't know if you can hear my dog. Sorry, she's
Yeah, I
whining.
got a dog too. I think still here.
Normally she's okay, but yeah, she's really wanting in here. I feel like I tend to use the spirit box more than voice
Yeah,
recorder.
oh,
Oh, I'm gonna let
that's
her in,
okay.
okay?
Yeah, go ahead. My dog's right here too.
Oh, come on.
Hey, Maya. Want to say
Hopefully
hi?
she doesn't
Want to
knock.
say hi? Come here.
Hopefully she
Come
doesn't knock my light over.
here. She'll walk there.
My
She'll
light.
close. Somebody's in his kitchen, so she's out there with them, of course.
What kind of dog do you have?
It's a mix between a Dachshund and a Lab.
Aw, cute.
Six years. She's like 13 years now.
Uh-oh, hopefully she doesn't knock my light over. Calm down. It's okay.
But at Home Adventure, I could play that video earlier for you if you want.
Oh, the EVP? Yeah.
Yeah, it's me saying there's Jacob and Hannah is the spirit ghost there, and I was actually in the bedroom setting up. So I was I hear their audience.
She's very vocal. Sorry.
Yeah,
Sorry.
but
Not
that was a
professional of me at all. Very sorry.
No, nah, sorry. We have fun here. I don't care.
Okay.
Sometimes she'll join me in shows too. Last time her head poked up.
Aw.
But There's some chicken here for the ghosts. And I was in their bedroom setting up. And I did, I asked, is Jacob or Hannah here? I said, Jacob here, or is Hannah here too? And I hear, And I said, it's good to hear me. I asked because the other investigator could have stared the sheet over 2 rooms further, setting her stuff up. I said, you're not gonna believe it. I'm not freaking out. I think I heard this, and she goes, they're here. So, I'll play this for you, and I'll make sure the volume's up. But this was one of the best I ever had. I don't know if that was before, throwing back up somewhere, but I had it happen with you before. But I think throughout the years, like I said, I'm more in tune with it, and
Yeah, and the more you like listen to that, no pun intended, but the more you listen to your clairaudience, the stronger it'll get, and the more familiar with it you'll be as well. So that'll be interesting for you to explore over the years.
I don't get much anymore. I have a roller I get around on. Just got it. I have a taxi. Yeah.
What is it? Read it. What's
It's
it like?
the walk and roll. The care taxi.
Oh, nice.
I have a taxi. Yeah. That's how I source sometimes in the beginning.
Okay.
But. So I'll play this for you. Can I hear you? I got chills. I was asking for Jacob or Hannah. I guess swore I thought I said Hannah to her. Is Hannah here too? Here.
Can you rewind it a little bit?
Yeah, and hold it back. That's weird. I'll do it again. I'll stop until it's home again. I got chills. I thought you wouldn't listen. I was asking for Jacob or Hannah. I guess swore I or I thought I said Hannah to her.
Well, I say, is Hannah here too?
I guess, Is Hannah here
Right
too?
now.
You hear the time?
I heard it. Yeah, it's a faint Nice.
Actually heard that. I was freaking out. I'm like,
Yeah. Wow, that's
yeah,
interesting.
that was my first visit there. I was there 3 times, but I don't mostly do it anymore because I think a lot of people in the Sesora Society, they won't deal with it anymore. But the ghost hunters are there. A lot of the groups there, but we've been very lucky over the years for EVPs. I got tons of A's throughout the years. I even as a church, we got to do a church, and it was built back in 1818, and we got a audio of a ghost choir.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. I
Yeah.
don't think I've gotten a whole
You
choir before. That's cool.
want to hear it? Because I have it here.
Oh, you do? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I love EVPs.
I'll set it up here. My friend was set up his video camera. I actually picked up audio on video camera.
Oh, wow.
So, and again, he didn't get on his EVP or any other one we had around. So it was just on that. But you hear like cracking around him, adjusting stuff, then you'll hear the in the background. You can hear the
Wow.
ghost choir. This, oh God, this I get goosebumps every time I
I'm
hear
sure.
this. Yeah, here you go. Jumping here was easy. That'll freak you
awesome.
up.
Yeah, that is, it sounds like you just walked in the middle of like a Christmas Eve
I
service.
know, and we have that, and like we can't,
Wow.
we can't, we are very fortunate everything just to get the stuff we got,
Yeah. Wow, yeah,
and
that's pretty incredible.
I'm grateful for my friends got to me a lot because I left a certain time of my life and I couldn't get out much, and they took me around and helped me downstairs, and I love the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you got some
We
good friends.
were one big happy family. We went out and we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Jericho to I Jericho to Post Town Nursery School yet?
To where? Nursery school?
Post Town
Post town,
Elementary.
yes. I need to go back there actually. But yeah,
Did
I've been there.
you're there already?
Yeah, I went there I think it was 2021 that I was there, so it's been a little while.
That's the year I think we went, and we got the we never get beat out of ever, but we got our best evidence there. In the gymnasium, the basketballs.
Yeah.
Well, I also had this wheelchair, that they had to, and they're pushing around it, kind of, having fun. But they had the wheelchair in there, and my friend, his son, was going around stuff up on the second floor. And me and their guys down, I set up our base in the lunchroom. And they came down and said, "You guys upstairs now?" Because, really? I said, "Yeah, what are you talking about?" But there's a basketball in the middle of the floor. And we had to hold the seat of that wheelchair. And I'm like, you're lying, the blood, she's just shit, you're lying, you're lying. And I'm like, not lying. Bill was like, what are you talking about? Well, luckily we had a water rolling, a high rolling at the time. And Bill ran up and got it and came back. And we played it. There we catch the song, got it off that chair.
Wow.
Wait till you see this. I'll get goosebumps every time I play it. I always break in people's time with me on the shows. I take their time about showing some stuff, but here it goes. At the very end of Altar, you'll recognize Altar. You see the stage at the end. Left hand side is the wheelchair. And the ball is holding that wheelchair. And the little light you see shining is actually IR shining off the metal of the. So that's you can look at that. So here you go.
I was
Go
gonna say do a
closer.
full screen, yeah.
That rolled off with some force.
Oh, it did. That's true. It did. It's out in the middle of the gymnasium.
Yeah, that didn't just kind of like flop off. It was like
Yeah,
pushed off.
boom. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Like,
So you've found
get
some
off,
good evidence.
get off that chair.
Yeah. This doesn't belong here. Get off. Wow. Yeah, that's a good.
Well, I'm glad I didn't get pushed off that chair. I was sitting a lot. I never thought about that, damn.
Yeah, you would have gotten pushed off of it.
I'll be okay with that, really. I actually sat in the bed teacher's chair, in the bed teacher room. I sat in that for a while.
Yeah. Did you get messed with at all or?
No, but like we had a real weird thing happen there. We were there that all the people I was there alone. I did session for like 5 minutes. I'll just keep quiet too, just listen. So I was doing that, and I was just bang, real loud. So I got a locker slam, and I looked down the hallway, and that's talking and stuff, and they react to it. I'm like, okay, so I sat there more. About 5-10 minutes later, they come back and they said, "We talking just now?" And I was talking just now about 5 minutes ago, or even more than that. I was sitting there quiet. And she said, "What?" I said, "Well," I said, "didn't you hear that loud bang? It's not like a locker slam." "No, we hear nothing."
Mm.
And I was like, I picked up on audio, that noise.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that so weird?
It was loud. It was so loud. I mean,
I think it's so interesting how sometimes some people will hear something and then other people don't hear it. I mean, that could be your clairaudience picking up on it and the other people maybe.
Yeah, aren't. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I had more than once then, so. with me, but yeah, I've been. I noticed throughout the years. Another thing that I've noticed for many years, I have very vivid dreams.
Mm.
I mean, very vivid. Like, I wake up and it's something I thought was done, more than done.
Yeah. Interesting.
Like, yeah, like I had one night just recently, last night, yesterday, there was, it's a great, weird, but. Yesterday, a UPS truck backed up, and I have like a handicap sign.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making like this close to it, and I'm like, stop. Well, I had a dream that he backed over that.
Oh wow.
That's weird. It's weird. And then like my wife felt looking, she running out, and you know, the guy, and like. I look out in the morning, I saw like this. I'm like, what the hell?
Interesting. You should start recording those. Like when you wake up.
I think, I've already done it. I should start to dream journals. I look up every day and say, did that happen or not?
Yeah, you should make a note of it. Keep a dream journal.
Yeah. So I've had it with loved ones in the past, too.
Mm.
I mean, I had one. Yeah, I had an old friend. He passed away maybe 9 years ago. He got dive cancer. And we were real close. And I had many dreams about him. And I talked to him like I'm talking to you. And I'm like, aren't you dead? Are you supposed to be dead? And he's like, every day I was talking to stuff. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I mean, I just, you're weird. Kind of stuff that happened. Like, did you ever get to Hinsdale yet?
I have not.
That's another. I had a weird dream there too.
Really?
I was sleeping in Mike's room. At Mike's room here, I was in this bed. Across the doorway from the kitchen to Mike's room. And that bed over here, I was sleeping in this bed. Over here, they have the nightstand. Okay, so later on to go to sleep, I had this dream. I woke up like, what the hell? Here when I was dreaming, I woke up and there was like 3 people sitting on the bed looking at me, and then they were looking at this what's on the stand there. Well, on the stand there was one of those old time radios. You remember, like, back in, like, Walton days?
Mm-hmm.
Was one of those radios there. And they're yelling, they're pointing at it, and yelling, and yelling at it, pointing at it. I can't make out what they're saying. They're just arguing back and forth. What? Yeah.
Huh.
And I only had dreams out. I only had dreams that one night, though, and that was when I was in Maestro.
Hmm. So. Yeah. That's interesting. I wonder what they were trying to tell you. Or I wonder if you're just seeing something from the past or if they were trying to tell you.
Yeah, I was trying to think of like how old the building is. I don't think it was that. I mean, it was. I'm not sure. Back in the 1920s, really.
Mm.
Probably around the Depression era. And it's probably when they had them.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I still feel weird things.
Yeah. Yeah, keep a journal of them. See
I'll do that.
Yeah. You may be surprised at what you can connect or, you know, what kind of makes sense in your daily life with the dreams.
Yeah, I've thought it always fascinated with that. I've been looking at for many years. And I've also been able to control myself sometimes in dreams too.
Oh, you can do
Like
lucid
I'm
dreaming?
good and I'm actually pinching myself in the dream. Do you
Really?
ever do that? Yeah.
I don't.
It actually works for you already. And you do any kind of stuff. And
Yeah.
lots of times I feel compliant and
Yeah.
I've been
Very
trying
rarely
to.
am I aware that I'm dreaming. Sometimes I know that I am, but a lot of the time
Right.
I'm
Or
just.
when you get the feeling of falling, I
Oh,
get that.
falling.
I'll jolt away a lot too.
Yeah. Those are never fun. The
No.
falling dreams. Or trying to
No,
run away
because
from people and you can't get away.
near there I kick my walker.
Oh.
I sleep in a chair, so I wake up and I kick my walker, or I'll
Oh my
bang my
God.
elbow or something,
Yeah, jerked you awake so much.
or punch or something too.
Oh.
Yeah, it's
Wow.
weird. Well, that's a great crazy idea to be chased right there. So it's like,
Yeah. Or the
I'm
teeth
like,
falling out. I have those dreams.
oh my God,
Those are terrible.
I do. I had already is string coming out.
Oh,
And
the spring. I've had that too.
out my
And I
tongue,
just keep pulling on it and it just keeps coming
yeah,
out. That's so weird.
that
I hate that. Yeah, I'll like start pulling. I'm like, what is this in my gums? And then yeah, it just keeps coming out. I'm like, I don't want this. That's weird.
I had a tongue. She was like,
Yeah. So weird.
we're so weird. Oh, we gotta do an investigation together, right? We're like minded,
Definitely.
and
I'm
I
probably not until after December, so in the new year, because November, December is always so
well,
much
no, I can probably set something
freaking.
up, and if you're not afraid of the cold, I could not in January. If you
Yeah,
want to
I
hear
don't
it,
mind investigating in the cold. Yeah,
yeah.
so
Wait,
something in January.
we inside? We're
Oh
in a
yeah, at the
museum.
Mansfield Fire Museum.
Yeah.
Do that. Yeah, because I've never been
Oh,
there.
that's a lot of fun. I'll see if my other investigator wants to come along. See if she comes along.
Yeah,
She
that'll be fun.
she's using my ride because I can't drive. I got a license anyway, so I always need somebody to drive.
Well, yeah, we can figure that out, work it out.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That'll be fun. Yeah, usually we get there. We start at 9 o'clock because the people will play bingo, so we have to wait till they leave.
Okay, that works.
Yeah, that's fine with me. We always wait, and we usually sit and we hop in one of the cars and throw heat on a little bit until Sunday wind
Yeah, warm up.
warm up. And we used to say it's a 2 or 3 in the morning,
Okay.
so
Yeah,
it's
that'll be a good
different. And
investigation.
but what's nice out there is they don't take donation. I don't take payment, but they have a donation box over there. So
Okay.
I actually put $50 in my and
Yeah, that's nice. They don't
what do you
charge.
feel like putting in?
Yeah. Well, good.
But I never have a problem getting it.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be fun. We'll have to plan that.
Yeah, definitely. So, I'll ask you this, I forgot to. Some people, why do you think some people become ghosts and haunt places after death while others do not? Why do you think?
I'm not really sure. There's a lot of ideas. Some people, if they weren't very good people in life, maybe they, after they die, they're afraid to move on because they don't want to have to face their consequences. So they're afraid to move on. Some people just really, really loved being alive. They loved where they lived. They loved their things. They just loved being here. And so they're not ready to say goodbye to that. And so they hang out and they stay. Some people, maybe their story isn't being told correctly, and so they want to stay until the details are told correctly, and then they can feel like they can move on. Some people, I think, are maybe lost or confused. This happens a lot with like deaths that happen suddenly and unexpectedly. sometimes maybe it can happen so quickly that the person is just kind of confused and they're not quite sure that, like, you know, I think spirits are kind of aware that, like, I think something happened. I don't think I'm quite how I was. I think maybe I am dead, but they don't want to, they're in denial almost. And so that could be also why they hang out.
Right. So in the comments, I've been paying attention to what's good. I think guys, let me see. If there's anybody in, there's nobody fearing now. So I was going to give your book away. If somebody popped in now, I'll give away your digital copy of your book.
Oh, well, that's nice.
I have some sorry problems. Wednesdays got hard to feed one. I thought about going back to Fridays. But I get a lot of views afterwards usually. But if somebody pops
in, watching replays.
Yeah. So, real quick, what do you hope readers get out of your book from reading it?
I hope people feel empowered from reading my book. I hope that they feel confident to go out and do an investigation. I hope they feel empowered to connect to their intuition, not only as it relates to investigating, but in any other area of their lives. I hope they feel, you know, that they have the knowledge and the tools to protect their energy and cleanse their energy again, whether it relates to ghost hunting and spirits or just energy in general. So yeah, I hope people feel empowered by reading it.
Well, we have a few seconds here, and I guess there's nobody in there now. I'll guess the advertise it a little bit and see what I get some to hear. I'll ask for so many and I'll cut it off at a point and they do a drawing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I realize my battery is at 3%.
Okay.
So are you going to have to say goodbye or I'm going to have to.
I said a point to finish up with that. I'll have your links. To post it. This will be on Spotify, it'll be on Odyssey, it'll be on iHeart, it'll be on Amazon.
Okay.
Among others to listen to.
Awesome. Yeah, let me know and I'll share it out on all my social media.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. That's where I'm a lot of fun. Yeah, we will definitely get to do an investigation together.
Yeah, definitely.
That goes out soon.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you taking the time at the end tonight, and it's a blast having you on.
Thank you.
And until next time, happy hunting, everybody.
Bye.